Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is great to be with you. If I had an ounce of common sense, I would have recognized that that was the sermon, and I don't need to say any more. But I don't think I was invited because I have any common sense. But because, in fact, I'm asked to come and be in the midst of the wonderful congregations of the Pacific Ascended like yours. As Pastor Jeff mentioned at the beginning of the service, I have this wonderful title. I am the Director for Evangelical Mission and Assistant to the Bishop of the Pacifica Synod. Whew. And we've been delighted to discover that if you use really small typeface, you can actually even put that on a business card. So it works out just fine. And my role, as I was telling the kids, is to be out in the midst of the congregations helping you to dream God's dream. What is God's dream for your ministry? And what I want you to know in particular is that the presence of a DEM in every synod is a result of a decision that we, the ELCA, have made at our church-wide level. So when you faithfully give your mission support every year, your congregation budgets 10% of the offering that you contribute to go on to the work of the larger church. And one of the things that happens as a result of that is you get a DEM. And we have made a huge commitment to the accompaniment of congregations as one of the primary things that our churchwide organization and our synod should be about. And so it's really a wonderful thing to be here, and I'm delighted to be serving a church that cares so much about who you are and what you are about and how it is that we can accompany you in dreaming those wonderful dreams that God has for your ministry. By the way, does anybody know what the ELCA's tagline is? There may be a prize for this. God's work, our hands. Now, when the ELCA, thank you very much. Pastor Jeff will give you a $20 bill later on. Yeah. It's reverse offering. When the ELCA developed this tagline, at first I thought, okay, what is this? Is this an attempt to sort of market the church? Is it an attempt to sort of be cute or perhaps even a little trite about who we are? But the more that I've thought about it, the more I've realized how deeply and profoundly it reflects what it means to be God's people and to be engaged in God's mission. What God is doing in our world through Jesus Christ, the reconciling of all creation back to God's self, the renewing of creation, putting all of the broken pieces back together, expressing a love that undergirds and pervades everything, a love that is boundless and limitless, that knows no end. That work is God's. It is what Jesus has come to do as he proclaims the kingdom of God. The kingdom that we hear today has come near to us. And we are called to put our hands to that work. We have stories of call in our scripture lessons this week. In fact, we had stories of call in the scripture readings last week as well. You, I'm sure, remember every glistening word of Pastor Jeff's sermon from last week. I am told that when he preaches, the angels in heaven weep. We're just not sure if it's from joy or sorrow. But last week, through the lens of the Gospel of John, we had the call of Philip, who ran off, and then he called Nathanael, and they came and encountered and followed Jesus. We also had the call of the boy Samuel, a little child being called and having a little trouble, which we all sometimes do, recognizing who exactly was on the other end of the phone and getting some help from a mentor who said, when God calls this time, sit up and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Today we're back to the gospel for our liturgical year, the Gospel of Mark, this gospel that just is so full of action and immediacy. And it's the calling of the fishermen. Jesus comes along and he calls these folks who, as far as we know, as far as Mark is concerned, to tell us, we know nothing about what they knew about Jesus. And yet he comes and he asks them to leave a life that they have known and to go with him and fish for people, to be on a bigger and grander kind of an adventure. And wonder of wonders and miracle of miracles, they get up and they go with him. And then there are the other two fishermen that are in the boat and they're mending their nets. I don't know, maybe they were just really tired of mending nets. But for whatever reason, when Jesus invites them, they go along as well. Now, isn't it cute that we have the second part of the story of Jonah today, where it seems like Jonah is very obedient to God's call. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and say some words to the Ninevites, and Jonah goes and they repent. But that's not the Jonah story. I mean, the Jonah story is about a call that Jonah got where God said, I want you to get a boat on a boat and go this way. And what did Jonah do? He got on a boat, all right, but he went the other way. It took a little convincing for Jonah in the form of getting swallowed up by a fish and barfed out on a beach before he was finally ready to do what God called him to do. And the thing about it that I love is that calls come to us in so many different ways. And we'll get to that in a moment, but first let's start with the affirmation that when you look at the lens of Scripture, especially when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in all four Gospels, even though there's some variation there, Jesus gets to the calling of disciples very early in the work of proclaiming the kingdom of God. Jesus has come to do God's work, but immediately he calls others to lay their hands to that work. And it is significant that we notice what kind of others Jesus calls. The story for today is great because there is Mark saying, well, Jesus is in Galilee. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the center of the religious world, the social and cultural world. He's in the backwater. And he's calling fishermen. Now, I don't want to offend any of you who are fisher folk this morning. But bear in mind that I grew up in Mendocino County in Northern California in a little town called Fort Bragg. And in Fort Bragg, you will find Noyal Harbor. And Noyal Harbor is a little fishing village. And in the days when I was growing up, there were lots of folks who fished salmon and other kinds of things out of there. And it was a very bustling kind of seaport. These fisher folk worked really hard, and they lived really hard. Quite a number of interesting watering holes, you might say, down around the harbor area for these folks when they'd come back from these long trips out at sea with nothing but the salmon to keep them company. So, you know, I mean, there's a point to be made here, right? That God calls the common, the regular, the ordinary. The inescapable point that we are to get from this calling story and from the other ones that we see in Scripture is that everybody is called. And it's important also for us to note that when does Jesus do the calling? It's early in the ministry, but it's also just after Jesus has himself had his own identity affirmed. You are my beloved, and that happens in his baptism. You are my beloved. It's when Jesus' identity is affirmed, when his belovedness is extolled by God, and then when we all see that the Spirit of God dwells powerfully in him. Jesus shows us what a life that is drenched by the Holy Spirit looks like. So after Jesus has that affirmation, then he goes and he calls others. And it reminds us that baptism is that same seminal moment for us. It's the place where we hear that we are beloved, where we affirm that we are knit into this body of Christ to be co-workers in God's kingdom, to do God's work with our hands, and to hear the promise that the Spirit of God dwells in us so that whatever God calls us to do, God will be faithful in equipping us by the power of the Holy Spirit for that calling. Read through the Scriptures and you see people find that calling in all different kinds of ways. The calling of the prophets in the Old Testament, the encounters that Jesus has with people along the way, and some immediately follow after him. Some have a powerful encounter and then follow after him. Some, it takes a while and their faith builds slowly before they're finally able to surrender themselves. Some, the story is left open-ended and we don't know if they ever follow Jesus. This calling is a messy business, and that's why it was so much fun with the kids. It is a messy business. There's no way that we as religious folks who like things so neat and tidy can make it into a tiny little formulaic experience. It's an exploding and unfolding kind of thing. And sometimes Jesus comes along and calls, and for reasons that we can't even discern, like those fishermen, we get up and we go. Sometimes we get in a boat and we go the other direction. I knew my call to be a pastor by the time I was 12 years old. Without question, I knew that this is what God had put me together to do. It was clear as could be. So I was a pastor in a congregational setting for 26 years. And then along came the bishop about 2 years ago. And he said, I have this idea for you to exercise your calling in a very different kind of way. And I called for the first boat that was going in the other direction. I spent every ounce of energy that I had trying to find all the reasons that I could to say no to that call. I consulted some of my colleagues and mentors, one of them sitting back here. And then one day, I walked up to my wife and I said, I think I'm supposed to say yes to this. And she, in her loving and gracious way, burst out laughing and said, welcome to the party. We've all been waiting for you to get there. And I remember this other pastor that I know and love very deeply that I started seminary with, and there were some hard and tragic things that happened in his life, and he wondered if his call was to pursue this ministry thing. And I remember, I don't know, some guy and his dad showed up on his porch on multiple occasions and said, get thee to the seminary. Now, I don't know which pastor I'm talking about exactly, but you see how that works? It's not necessarily neat and tidy, but this is an ongoing dynamic of our relationship with God. This call is coming to us, and it changes as we go along, and we find ourselves in places that we do not expect or we cannot anticipate, and we wonder if we're equipped and able to do what God is calling us to do, and the answer is always yes. It is always yes. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the community that gathers around us, we are always able to fulfill that delicate thing that Paul says, where Paul talks in Romans 12 and in Corinthians 12 about playing your part. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but play the part in the body of Christ that you've been asked to play. Now, in your congregation, you are in a season of transition, and in some ways a time of mourning. You took a great leap of faith and it didn't go exactly where you thought it was going to go, and you had to say goodbye to a pastor that you had grown to love very, very deeply. And that's real, and you have to pay attention to that. But this is also a season of discernment for you. And so as individual members of the body, how might God be calling you to exercise your gifts in the life and ministry of this congregation in a new way that will help open up an entirely new season of life and ministry that might have been one that you didn't expect or anticipate? And how might God be calling you as a body together to dream boldly about what your next adventures are going to be? Or what adventures God has in store that you're called to play along with? As you wrestle with that discernment, know this: God is calling each and every one of us to play our part. And God has equipped us to be faithful to answer that call. We celebrate that in the water of our baptism, we are set apart to be ministers of the gospel, co-workers in the kingdom, bearers of the light and love of Jesus for all of God's world, participants in that renewing and reconciliation of creation that God is so wonderfully about. You've been called, and you've been equipped, and you have been sent. You may need to wrestle with it for a while. That's okay, because God is faithful, and God will put you on the path that is intended for you to go. May God be with you in this time of your discernment, and not only about the ministry of the congregation here, but about the ministry that you carry out in your daily lives. And may God give you courage and boldness to say yes. Amen.